guys, and welcome to Cup of Tea and Talks with G, a place where the natural and random conversation amongst friends, family and peers flow over a cuppa. Relaxed, funny and easygoing conversations where nothing is off limits and tangents are encouraged. Think of the chatty, fun and open conversations you have around the table when catching up with someone and you think, oh my god, imagine if somebody overheard what we're talking about, because the conversation's gone down the most random and funny tangents. Well, that's what this podcast will be. I'll be speaking to different people from different walks of life with different experiences in each episode. So thank you for joining me and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Hello everybody and welcome to this week's episode. This week I'm talking about a topic that I've wanted to record with somebody pretty much since I would have started planning this podcast. I know I say that a lot, but genuinely a topic that I could sort of spend hours talking to somebody about, and an area that I'm really fascinated about and really sort of enjoy other people's perspectives on is manifestation. It's like manifestation, the law of attraction, positive mental attitude, all of that stuff. And I just love to hear how people have used it, people who agree with it, people who don't. And just sort of all of that stuff. And that is why my guest this week was the perfect guest. This week I'm speaking to Amber Badger. And the reason that I asked Amber to do this episode with me was because, well, she's a copywriter and writing mentor. And essentially she wrote a blog post for one of her clients and I read it, and it was about manifestation and how it works within businesses, I suppose, but also why it can be detrimental. And I just really liked the other side to it, in regards to it wasn't all like, you know, just write a list of things that you want to achieve and, you know, do your meditation in the morning and feel good about it and then it will all happen. Like, she sort of counteracted the norm, and it just got my brain thinking and I was like, please can we do an episode on this? And thankfully she agreed. So yeah, we recorded this episode and we've both said we're somewhat in the middle, but like that we do sort of have used manifestation and different tools and different ways, I suppose, that you can incorporate manifestation and all of that. And yeah, we just sort of gave our experiences, sort of what we think is good, sort of the downsides to it, and I suppose the blocks that some people have. And then we ended up sort of going down a bit of a tangent about mental health and why toxic positivity and, you know, just saying, oh, just think positive and, you know, if you think positive, your life is going to change type thing, how that can be so detrimental depending on somebody's circumstance. And that's the thing, like I say in the episode, I am sort of in the middle, if not a bit more leaning towards pro for, you know, all of that stuff. I do find it good. I do like to sort of study it and listen to podcasts about it. And I do find for myself, it is actually beneficial. At the same time, when I'm not sort of in the right headspace, it can have the opposite effect on me. So trying to sort of understand that and obviously be aware of that. And yeah, that's sort of, when it comes to sort of anyone who's suffering with their mental health, I think it's really important to be mindful of how we can sort of just make it sound like there's this magic trick of, you know, thinking positive, you know, feeling the feelings, visualization, how that isn't necessarily as easy for everybody and why some people might struggle with it a little bit more than others, really. But yeah, really interesting chat. Like I say, we just sort of went through it. Like, we both have experiences of when we feel like our manifestation and the law of attraction did work. So we definitely sort of can say we do believe it in some extent. I think it's just not the, I think the reason I wanted to do this episode and like that come from it from a perspective of sort of being in the middle ground was because if you Google law of attraction, manifestation, YouTube or podcast or anything like that, these people like that will give you all the positives, which is great. You know what I mean? You don't necessarily want to hear the bad sides. But if you're someone like me who's sort of been aware of it and sort of practicing it and understanding it since, probably about 15 years now, when it doesn't always go to plan or when no matter how hard you try and how much energy you put into it and, you know, how much you think you're doing it right, if it doesn't work, that can be so
like soul destroying. And I know that sounds dramatic, but you know, sometimes you look at people and they're like, I had, you know, 0p in my bank account, and you know, I went to the shop and I found a fiver on the ground and I bought a lotto ticket and I manifested that I won the lotto and now I'm a millionaire. That's not a real example, by the way, but you know, sometimes you can hear them stories and it just seems like it's too good to be true. But yeah, these real life people are telling you that they've done it, so therefore if they can do it, why can't I? And then when that doesn't happen, yeah, it can be a bit like you sort of think, is there something wrong with me? Why can't I do it? Am I not good enough? Do I not deserve it? And all of that stuff. And so that's what we sort of look at in this episode. And like I said, the reason we sort of go down the mental health route is because mindfulness, positive mental attitude, that is not the same thing as your mental health. And people will, who don't understand it fully, or, you know, maybe haven't experienced it or don't have anyone around them that has dealt with it, can sometimes, I don't know what the word is, like make light of it and sort of try and, you know, try and sort of use manifestation and that to help. And obviously I think no matter what it is, if you, whatever you're doing, if you're, you know, feeling it any which way, if it's working for you, that's great. But it doesn't mean that it's going to work for somebody else who, you know, especially is going through a mental health illness or anything like that. So yeah, that, going down that road, I think it just very much ties in with everything to do with outlook, perspective, all of that. It would be quite ignorant of us to not sort of mention it, because I know a lot of people can sort of feel like, you know, I'm trying to be positive, but you know, I just don't feel good or whatever, I'm going through this. And then it can sort of, yeah, just make it sort of, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just make it, just make light of their situation, I suppose, really. So going to stop rabbiting on. But yeah, really hope you enjoy this one. I do say in the episode, but I do mean it, I would love to know, whoever's listening, good, bad, indifferent, whatever, let me know what you feel about manifestation or law of attraction or any of that. Do you think it's absolute like woo-woo or witchcraft or bollocks or whatever? Or do you practice it? Have you got any tangible experiences with it? Do you have a formula that works specifically for you? Because that's the other thing, like, there's so many different ways to do it. And I think that's probably one of the parts to cracking it, is to find what actually works for you and what puts you in that higher vibrational state. So yeah, I would love for anyone who's listening, who's got any opinion, like I say, I'm not going to be offended. I would just love to hear what you think on the whole thing. Because yeah, I just love having the conversations around it, really. So thank you so much again to Amber. She comes with such a good, like, perspective and understanding, and yeah, really, really enjoyed this conversation, and I hope you do too. Hey, Amber.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm looking forward to this chat.
Yes, me too, very much so.
Yeah. From the title, if anyone hasn't seen it or sort of doesn't know what we're talking about, essentially we're going to be looking at manifestation, but more so in particular, like, does manifestation actually work in like the real world, or is it all that it's sort of cracked up to be? We'll go through different bits and pieces, but the reason that I wanted Amber to come on to talk about this is she's done a blog post. I'll put a link in the show notes, but she's done a blog post a few weeks ago that I read, and essentially it was to do with that we can't just sort of let manifestation just sort of do the thing and not do anything, and how that could be detrimental when you're running a business, self-employed and all that stuff. And yeah, it just light bulb moment, because like, I talk about manifestation and all that type of stuff till the cows come home. So when I seen your blog post, I was like, oh my God, this is the perfect, like, not argument, but sort of counter sort of thing about it. Because like, people are either, in my eyes, are either massively for or massively against it. And we've both sort of said before we started recording that we're sort of somewhat in the middle ground with it.
Definitely.
So yes. Amber, do you want to, before we get started, do you want to do a little bit about yourself, who you are, why you're so fabulous and what you do?
Well, I don't know about the fabulous bit.
No, definitely.
So yeah, my name's Amber. I've got a copywriting business called The Wild Wordsmith, where I support free-spirited brands with soulful storytelling. I've had the business for coming up to 2 years now, which is kind of mind-blowing. I did not think survive last year, but yeah, that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Yay. And you're all about, like, obviously I'm aware of your company and your brand and all that and follow you on Instagram, but you are all, like you say, about the soulful creative stuff. But I suppose you're not so far down the woo-woo train that, you know, like it's all like fairies and roses and all that type of stuff. So it's obviously in tune with like your conscious and your creativity and your mindset and that. But like you say, it's not completely like wow, wow. Like I've just noticed it's 11:11. So yeah, there we go. That's a sign. Oh, make wow. a wish.
Yeah.
As always, when we get started with the episodes, I just like to be nosy and see what people's hot drink or cup of tea of choice is. So what's your go-to, Amber?
So mine has become quite boring recently because I've cut caffeine out of my diet.
Oh,
just
wow.
Because on my day, like I was fully addicted to caffeine and it was messing up my sleep and mm-hmm. all the fun things like heart palpitations and all that lovely stuff. So now it's just a decaf coffee with oat milk.
So you would have been a coffee drinker and now you're decaf.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
Big time normal coffee before, but now moved over to decaf, which was very painful for quite
I was going
to
say, was it hard? I've heard people have like proper like withdrawals with it.
Yeah. Really bad, like headaches and just knackered all the time.
Yeah.
And it did make me think like, oh my God, like what was it doing to my body if it's making me feel like this now?
Yeah.
I'm not having that. So yeah, it's a decaf coffee.
Wow, fair play. That's really cool though, because I don't drink coffee. I can't, just about can stand the smell of it, but like I just find it too strong. But even
yeah.
tea, the caffeine, I didn't know that the tea and the caffeine and the coffee is pretty similar. Like I used to think it was a weakened version. Yeah,
yeah,
like that's crazy. But yeah, like come 6 o'clock, anything after that has to be a decaf tea because like you, like I'll be wired. Like
yeah.
I don't even need the caffeine. I was saying I was awake till 3 a.m. last night, bloody reading a book. So I really don't need to be putting caffeine. She says that she takes a mouthful of tea. But yeah, I don't need to be putting that into my life. That's really interesting though, because I've even had it before where, I don't know, for whatever reasons, if I get up and I don't have time to have a cup of tea and maybe it gets to like 3 or 4 and I feel terrible. Like I'm like, what's wrong with me? And I'm like, for me, tea is a comfort thing. So I'm like, I'll have a cup of tea because that's comforting. But
yeah.
I'm actually like, no, that's just because your body wants the caffeine. You've just given it exactly what it wants. Like it's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, I was always the same. That sort of hot coffee in the morning, that was my way to sort of ease into the day. But
yeah.
actually it was because I was craving the caffeine. You know, I now will have, yeah, either a decaf tea or a decaf coffee or like a herbal tea. And it still gives me that same comfort.
Yeah.
And it's still part of that same ritual, which kind of sets me up for the day.
Yeah.
But it's not sort of messing with my head and heart.
Yeah.
Oh, head and heart. That sounds so emotional.
That's deep. We've only started. You know what? I'm actually going to make a pledge now. I'm going to start, because I have a load of decaf in the house, I'm going to start just drinking decaf tea because I don't tell a difference. I've got good decaf tea
yeah.
bags. So I'm going to start doing that because I wondered the difference that actually might bloody make to me.
Yeah, do it.
Probably
see how
less scatty.
Well, I mean, I'm not less scatty. So
I know. I wish I could blame that on the tea, but I'm definitely like, no, that's your personality. Like,
yeah.
Right. So let's get into our conversation. Like I said, this is probably like every bloody episode that I record, but it's probably going to be a bit disjointed and all over the shop because it's so massive. And I think even when I was sort of researching and sort of writing a few notes, manifestation, like people can call it so many other things, don't they? Like law of attraction, positive mm-hmm. mental attitude, like so many other things. And I suppose they all mean slightly different, but they're all sort of down that same sort of track of like attracting into things, and your mm-hmm. mindset is what brings you to where you are. I already know the answers to this because I was too nosy literally before I hit record and asked Amber. But where do you sit on the whole manifestation? Are you for it, against it, or what's your sort of overall views on it really?
So I'm definitely in the middle. I absolutely believe that the energy that you put out into the world and sort of having things at the forefront of your mind can really bring the things that you need towards you. But I think that there's other work that has to go into it as well.
Yeah.
I think it's not just a case of thinking, oh, I want to get a book published. It's also the work that you're putting in and then being more open to opportunities and being more sort of receptive to them. I think that it's a lot more complicated than just thinking positively and having those good things happen to you. I mean, I think there's definitely something in it. And I've had loads of experiences before where things have happened to me that were kind of beyond really anything I ever thought would happen. And it was something that I kind of one day just decided, like, yeah, I want this to happen to me. I need this to happen. But there was so much other stuff that was going on in the background and work that I was doing to make it a reality. So yeah, in the middle and very interested in people that are super pro and super against. Like I find that really, really interesting hearing the two sort of different sides of the fence, because I am sort of just sat right in between them.
Yeah. And that's the thing, I'd probably actually be similar myself. I'm probably more edging towards the pro. But I know in the back of my mind that I'm probably just also telling myself that because I don't want to be negative. It's like, it's so warped. It really messes with my head sometimes. And you mentioned that in your blog post in regards to the whole, like, if you're having a bad day, or like, God forbid, if you suffer from like any sort of mental health issues and you genuinely are down and really feeling that, that does that mean then that you're attracting more bad things? And then that's a whole catalyst all on its own. And that for me, like, I wrote down like some downsides, and to me that was like so scary, the idea of that. For me, manifestation, law of attraction, all of that stuff, I remember reading about that when I was about 16 or 17, and it was the first thing I ever read was The Secret, like I think most people. And I remember reading this book and I was thinking, oh my God, that's so easy. Like, I'm just going to do it. And I suppose anyone who's read The Secret or similar, or then sort of delved into it deeper since then, The Secret's very much like a very basic, like, just do this, this, and this, and then it will happen. And then obviously the older I got, I realized that that wasn't necessarily the case. And then I sort of lost a bit of love with it. Do you remember when you first started sort of hearing about it and all that?
I think it was a bit later than you did. So I think it was actually while, like, and it sounds like such a cliche, but it was while I was traveling and I was trying to sort of, you know, really get to know myself and sort of try and think in a different, more open way than I had when I was back home and everything. And I think that's when I started. And, you know, the people you meet as well, learning things from them. And I too read The Secret and had those same kind of feelings of, oh, but you know, this is just, yeah, this is so easy. But then absolutely, the more I thought about it, the more I realized that especially that kind of mentality and narrative that The Secret takes, that's such a privileged way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because it's good and well, us sat here sort of in our, you know, fairly privileged lives,
being able to
think, you know, think in that way. But people that are, you know, let's go to the extreme of people living in third world countries, is it their fault that they're in that situation because they're not thinking, you know, they're not manifesting their success? You know, they aren't, you know, no matter how they think, those things aren't going to happen to them because they're in a situation where it can't. So that's it. You're right that it is quite a scary sort of realization and a complete head bake, because I do love all of that, like energy attraction, energy healing, things like that. I love it. But this is when I get into a bit of a sticky situation of, oh God, but am I just really privileged to think in that way?
Yeah. And like, yeah, exactly. Like that's, I remember when I read The Secret, and I've read it and I've watched the Netflix documentary. And to be honest, I still will watch it now sometimes. If I'm feeling really bad or if my mind is spiraling, I will sometimes put that on to sort of like, because it doesn't go too deep. I'm like, right, just put that in the background and sort of remind myself, right, okay, you know, you want to flip your mindset. You want to do things that are more of a higher vibration and all of that. And it's more just sort of to train my brain. But when they talk about, don't they talk about like mass disasters and stuff like tsunamis and earthquakes, and they say, oh, that's just like a buildup of like negative energy from negative people in the world. And I was like, oh my, like that scared the life out of me, because I was like, but say God forbid however many hundreds or thousands of people have died in these situations, you're trying to tell me that all of them have been negative? Because surely if there was people there that were really positive and manifesting all this really great stuff, they shouldn't have been caught up in it based on this whole theory. And it just, that really, really scared me. But like that, I do agree, like I say, with like energy. And like everyone knows, if you do something that feels good, the next thing is then good. And it sort of filters into other parts of your life. Like if business or work is going great, you know, your relationship feels better, and vice versa. If things go to shit, it seems to affect all your life and that. So I do believe in all of that stuff. But like I say, it's the, I suppose the pressure that, I don't know, I feel like in the last, maybe it is since like the lockdowns and that as well, like there was so much thing on like your mindset and stuff, and it was like none of us attracted this. Like, nobody could have like foreseen this. And then I was so aware of how negative I felt throughout it, like the whole world was. And then I just felt like, oh, well, this is your fault now. You know, things are going to get worse and you're feeling bad about it. And yeah, just sort of spiraling and just absolutely like freaked me out. It's freaking me out now.
Yeah, I mean, it just puts so much pressure on you as well, yeah, doesn't it?
Pressure is exactly what it is.
Yeah. To always feel positive. And, you know, that is toxic positivity, really, isn't it? Yeah. And that's something that I feel really strongly about as being a bad, you know, a very bad thing, because it's, of course, it's important to try and be positive, but sometimes you can't. And sometimes, you know, it's, you need to let yourself into those sort of other emotions, yeah, because if you kind of keep it all trapped in, it is gonna, you know, it's gonna be like a pressure pot, like it's, yeah, gonna come out at some point. But it's just, it is, it's just so complicated, because, you know, I and this is why I sit in the middle, because I do have these feelings of, oh, but what about this and what about that and what about this, but then I have also got experiences where it seems to have worked, so I'm, yeah, like, ah, I don't understand. Yeah.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is. And I think as well, like when you, like, so when I keep going back to the secret, because that was the first thing that made me even aware of anything of it. Obviously, they call it the law of attraction. And it, as far as they're the people who sort of have studied it and researched it, it's the same as the law of gravity or any of the laws of the world. Like, we don't doubt that pigs can't fly, I think is when they say, like, if you jump off a roof, you're going to land because the law of, yeah, gravity. And they say that the law of attraction is the same. And I suppose, in some sense, I do believe that that's running on in the background. And I think once you get your head around it and sort of forget that, because initially as well, I was like, I was trying to stop thinking because I was trying to control my thoughts so much because I was like so panicky about what I was thinking about. But I do know from my own sort of experience, and it's mad because a lot of it is, I can really pinpoint it when it was more negative. But you wake up and you think about something bad, or you foresee something happen. And I know, for me, sometimes I can put so much energy and thought and worry and all this emotion into this negative thing, and lo and behold, it happens. And then I'm like, what did you expect? Like, you put your energy into it. But I do think, like, sometimes them feelings can be so overwhelming, whereas, like, when you're happy in that, it can take a, like, there's massive times in my life when I can think of when I was completely ecstatic and completely unbelievably happy and didn't matter what happened around me. But they're, for me, more few and far between than, yeah, like the negative ones. And I think like then that's like massively just scares me when it comes to like my manifestation. And the people who, when I think of, say, negative people, like, or people who maybe don't understand the law of attraction or against it, there's some people, and I look at them and I watch what they say and I look at their behaviors and I'm like, right, yeah, no, I get it. When you say that this person, like, as harsh as it sounds, has somewhat ended up because of where they are, but they're,
yeah,
but I don't know if it's manifestation though, because I suppose it's everything about them. It's their aura, it's their energy, it's their outlook, it's their, yeah, energy, it's their ethics. Like, everything is negative and doom and gloom and all of that. So, like, yeah, it's just, it's a massive, like you say, it's Pandora's box. Like, but then, like, you look at the positive people, they say, like, the highly successful people, and even the likes of Oprah and that, like, that they understand it and they use it and that, and you're like, yeah, like, I can understand to an extent, like, that would have been the case. So I do like say, having conversations with people as well in the middle, where I'm like, right, yeah, sometimes bad things happen, but also sometimes good things happen. I'm not, yeah, like one of these where, like, thankfully, like, everything hasn't gone wrong, but at the same time, not everything's gone right, and I've not had all my stuff that I've manifested or sort of wanted or really, really worked towards, they've not always come off. So, yeah, I'm like, I'm definitely between, like, actually doing it, believe in it, and sort of where I stand, I'm very much in the middle, because, yeah, I, yeah, couldn't say. And I think that's what it is as well, because I really like this podcast. It's with Francesca Amber, and one of my other podcast guests recommended it, Emma, and The Law of Attraction Changed My Life. I do like her. She is quite open and honest about it and that, but same time, I'm sort of like, oh, I don't know, like, some of it I'm like, but where's the sort of, like, other part of it? It's sort of, I'm like, I can't just see the positives. Like, where is the stuff that you've attracted that, you know, or didn't attract or whatever? And she does, like I say, she's, as far as like a podcast about law of attraction goes, she does sort of show a little bit more of that side. But yeah, I find sometimes when you look into it, you think this is unachievable, because these people sort of nearly already have everything, And then they're telling me about it and I'm like, all right, great. Yeah. I'll talk to you when I'm in my $1 million mansion as well. Like it's
crazy. Exactly what I was going to say. As you were saying that, the thing that came to mind was it's all good and well someone saying how good the law of attraction is and how much it works when they have everything already, exactly like what you just said. You know, it's all good and well to say like, oh yeah, like it's just been so good for me because look, I've got this amazing house and this amazing family and this amazing job, but maybe they would have just had that anyway. Maybe they're just in a lacking position that they would have had that anyway. But it's just, it's so complicated. But I think, and even just like through this conversation, the things that are coming up, it's maybe it's that it's like kind of one small part of so much other like internal work that you do. Because like, you know, you think of, there's so many things like energy healings, like Reiki, tapping, acupuncture, like so many things like that. They're like scientifically proven that they do work. Some people still think it's super woo, but there is science behind it. Like it does work. Meditation, you know, these are things that have been around for so long, so long. And to me, the fact that they have been around for so long and have been believed and used for so long tells me that they are, you know, they are real.
Yeah.
And for, you know, and I think that's my kind of approach is I do a bit of everything. So, and maybe that's why these things do happen for me, and, or it puts me in a better place to more positively and like with more focus go for the things that I want, because it's kind of clearing out like the stagnant energy and everything like that. But it's, yeah, I just think that maybe yes, manifestation, but a lot of other things as well that kind of circle it potentially. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. It's so complicated.
I know. And that's the thing you say about like all the other things that come into force, because like I wrote down like goal setting, but people do that, businesses do that, you know, businesses set goals. But for me, that's the same as me writing like what I want to manifest. So then I'm like, what's the difference between goal setting and manifesting? Like, and I get obviously to some extent, it's probably that like they say, oh, you can manifest anything. I am not going to write down that by the end of this year, I'm going to make £1 million because I just can't believe it. And therefore I wouldn't believe myself. I wouldn't put any energy into it. And I probably wouldn't actually do something, because if something came up now in June that meant that I was going to make £1 million by the end of the year, it probably wasn't going to be something ethical or correct. It would have been dodgy as anything. So I'm like, I'm not going to put my energy into that. I'm not going to write it down. So therefore my goals are very much achievable, but they're also what I'm manifesting. So is it just one or the other? Because I know loads of people who write goals or set goals, they're not necessarily positive people, they're not sort of on this same page, and they achieve it and smash it. And sometimes I think they're not even that great of people, but yet their life seems to be going in that direction. So like I say, maybe it's just a pick, like picking parts, different bits and pieces.
Yeah,
like I say, I do, there is instances like you said where I definitely feel like with a few different things, but maybe more I did put energy or really strong self-belief into manifesting them. Do you have any examples or even just sort of like ideas of when you sort of like, and I would think that was a little bit more than just the norm, I suppose?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've got quite a few, but the one that always sticks out for me was a few, maybe like 6 years ago, I don't actually know. I had a breakup and just decided that I need to do something positive with my life. Like I'd always, you know, I'd stayed in the place where he wanted to live and doing what he wanted to do. So I was like, you know, through this, I'm going to use this as a really good opportunity. And from that point, everything just seemed to happen in the most insane way. So the first thing was I just went to see a film with my friend, and one of the adverts was about someone who basically packed up their life and went traveling and did all this, that and the other. And then, so I was like, right, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Like, you know, standard, what a lot of people do after breakups, sort of just run away. And, you know, I was toying about with where I wanted to go and everything. And, you know, I kind of thought maybe I'd go and do some teaching in somewhere like Thailand for a bit or something. But then changed my mind, because this is going to be a long story now, but
I'm here for it. I'm so interested in stuff like this, like I'm here for it.
Changed my mind because I found out that my sister was pregnant with twins, so I wanted to be a little closer so I could sort of come home when they were born and everything. Really wasn't sure where I would go, you know, where I would go. So then I had a phone call with my dad, and he's like, you know, I was really nervous to sort of tell him that I wanted to go away. I don't know why I was nervous, because he was like all for it.
I'm smiling so much because this, not to the same extreme, but this is so similar to something that happened to me. Yeah. And you say about you worried about telling your dad and all that. I'm like, yeah, tick, 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 literally.
Yeah, so weird. Honestly, I was so nervous, and straight away he was just like, no, like, that's amazing. You've totally got to do that. And he was like, oh, your nan would be so proud of you. My nan had passed away like a couple of years before. And then as soon as I got off, so I was on the bus, and I got off the bus, and straight away, like a white feather just like fell down by me. And I was like, okay, that's Nan telling me that I should go and do that. And my Nan's fate, because of that, I was then drawn to go to Florence in Italy, because my Nan's favorite place in the world was Florence. So I was like, oh, like, I'd never been to Italy, but I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Let's see what's going on in Florence. Literally within a few weeks. So at first, again, I was like, okay, maybe I'll go and do some teaching. Didn't really want to do that. You know, I'd been building up my career in marketing, but I was like, you know, screw it. As long as I can be there and sort of do something, it'd be great anyway. And then all these different cogs came together. I randomly met a girl through work who knew someone that had lived in Italy as well. She put me in contact with her, who then told me about this English language newspaper in Italy, in Florence, that would advertise jobs. Went and looked on there. There was one for an English speaking marketing associate.
Wow.
The job had already closed, but I got in touch with them anyway. And they're like, yep, still, you know, send it over, blah, 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 blah. And then within about 3 weeks, I was living in Florence, and I'd got a job, and I'd moved over there, and just had the most incredible year of my life. Like, made best friends for life over there, you know, loved the work. I'm still, you know, very friendly with the people I worked with. It was this incredible husband and wife. The wife was Italian, the husband was English. I'm actually working at the moment, one of the other girls that worked there, we're both working on a freelance project together now. It's just like,
oh my god, yeah.
Just had never been there before, and just everything, as soon as I thought, okay, yeah, this is what I need to do for my life, everything just started slotting in place. And it's just, that is kind of the one for me that always just thinks, yeah, that was meant to happen.
Yeah.
And life sort of took me there in that sort of, yeah, it just, yeah, it makes me like get goosebumps even just thinking about
that. I know. And that is the thing, like say, it's sometimes there's too many coincidences that you're like, right, there's something bigger out there. And like, for me, I wrote that actually as a positive, that like, I was brought up Catholic, obviously I'm Irish, so it's just general that I was going to be Catholic and all that, but I wouldn't say that I'm actually religious. And I even have it now, you know, when you fill out a form and they ask you your religion, and I'm like, oh, I don't even know if I put that, because I'm not, like, I'm just not. So, but I would definitely say that I do believe in like a higher power or a spiritual being, or just some sort of something else out there. But for me, that's like a security thing. Like, I like the idea of that. I know some people would be the opposite, where they think that's scary, but for me, I like to always know, it takes a little bit of the pressure off me to think that there's someone else out there. And, you know, sort of not everything is in your control, or like, what will be, or, you know, no matter what way you go, you'll end up where you're meant to, all that type of stuff. I'm all about them sort of quotes and stuff. So the idea of there being a higher power, and like I say, you just sort of, you were like, right, I'm going traveling. But like you say, if you had have decided there and then, there was no chance in hell that you could have said that I'll be in Florence doing my job that I'm able to do now in an Italian speaking country. And all, and like, for me, I'm like, yeah, that you did manifest that. Or like, yeah, you, like, you could have went a different route and it would have been amazing. But like you say, it's just when things are so easy, you're like, right, this was meant to happen. It's an easy flow. I have a few, well, mine's slightly different with the traveling thing, but like, because, you know, they joke as well when you see that on, it's like, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes people attract things that they don't intentionally mean to. Some fella did a vision board and there was a dog in the bedroom or something, and then lo and behold, he had this new dog. Like, that to me is like super manifestor. I'm like, I'm not there yet. But I always joke that I manifested Nate unintentionally, and like, I don't mean like unwantedly, but like, I did, that wasn't really what I wanted, but I kept saying it. And I was in the salon before I went away for the summer to work in Tenerife. And, you know, I would say that I'd just come out of a long relationship and I just needed to get away. And the clients and that were all asking me, and what are you going to do? And blah, blah, blah. And I always remember there's this one girl and she was like, whatever you do, don't fall in love. And I was like, oh God, no. Like, I was like, I don't even want to speak to another fella when I'm out there, let alone like fall in love. But I did always joke because at the time, oh, it makes me cringe to even admit this. At the time, me and my friend were like obsessed with Geordie Shore. And like Gary from Geordie Shore had come to like our local nightclub a couple of times. So we obviously went, got the photos with him and all this. And I kept saying, oh, when I'm in Tenerife, I'm going to meet my English fella. He's going to have a quiff. I did always say he was going to be from Newcastle, but Nate's from Portsmouth or the south anyway. So, but I constantly said every time, oh yeah, that English boy with the quiff, and like didn't really want it, but probably was just, it was something that I just said over and over again. And lo and behold, like almost 8 years later, I'm married to the English fella with the quiff. Like, and I'm like, and there was loads of English people out there, but they didn't all have quiffs. But yeah, like it was just weird that he was that person. Like I say, wrong part of the country, but probably better off actually, because you get better weather down this way.
Yeah.
But one sort of story where I'm like, there had to have been a higher power for this to sort of happen, because it was one of them where like I set the intention, I really knew what I wanted, but realistically I couldn't see how it was ever going to happen because I was like, it's too big. So when I started in recruitment, I was 6 months as a trainee and then I became a consultant. So you sort of run your own desk, and recruitment is not the place for law of attraction, spirituality or anything like that. So I very much kept all this to myself. But when I started, you start from scratch, and I started in the August, and that was the start of the financial year. So I was set this target from day dot, but had no previous work, no nothing. And it was contract. So like you had to have X amount of contractors in place before you even started seeing commission. So for the first like two quarters, I finished obviously behind target every time. And I felt so disheartened and so like, I felt so shit at what I was doing, because I felt like they'd set the rod for my back. Like I was never going to hit that target. It was impossible. So I had 6 months left of the year. And I think within that quarter, the company started to bring out these incentives. The first one was after the third quarter, I don't know, X amount of people who finished in the top 20 throughout the company would go for a night away, big trip in London, all expenses paid. But then after the fourth quarter, it was going to be a trip to Ibiza for like two nights, all expenses, all of that. And I was like, I'm going on that trip to Ibiza. Like there wasn't a hope in hell. If I had sat in my like end of quarter like review and my boss had been like, what's your goals for this quarter, and I had said I want to go to Ibiza, he probably would have slapped me and been like, can you just focus on actually making a little bit of money and stop like dreaming? But that was it. I was like, I'm going to Ibiza. There was no way that I was going to be going. You had to, and it was so based on just that quarter. So you had to fill X amount of jobs. Every job you filled, you got points. And you could see it on the intranet every day I'd go on. And my name was like, I don't know, 100 and whatever out of like 400. It was only the top 20 that got to go. But I was like, I'm going. And then like that, now in saying that, a lot of hard work went into this. But in saying that, just certain, I suppose, elements of luck did happen as well. Like a client that we'd worked with for years had this massive influx of contractors, but then they decided after a few weeks they wanted to take them all perm, because they'd done it within the 12-week like period, we got to sort of charge a perm fee. So all this stuff started coming in on my desk, and like I could start to see it going up. And I remember saying to my friend who like that was up high as well, and she was like, I think I'm going to get on the trip. And I was like, no, I'm going on that trip with you. And I could see it sort of start to happen. And then my manager was like, oh, by the way, and this is a bit dodgy, I don't know if anyone listens, I don't work there anymore, it doesn't matter. But anyway, as a department, we'd already hit our yearly target. We were there. And he was like, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to put them fills through the system until the start of the next financial year so that they go on next year's, which meant that it wouldn't come on my scoreboard. And I was like, oh, I didn't want to say to him like that again, like the whole Ibiza thing, because it's like bigger picture, come on, stop thinking about it. But I was like, no, I just want to go to Ibiza.
Yeah.
So he was like, yeah, no, we're not going to put them through, but it'd be great because it means next year you'll start the year ahead of target. And I was like, yeah, I suppose like it's great. And I was so annoyed because I was like, but if they don't go through, then I'm definitely not going to get there without it. And so I still said, right, that's it. I'm going to Ibiza. Like there was only about 4 weeks left, I think, before the thing closed. And then whatever was on the board, that was final. And about 2 weeks later, the head of the department called him in. We sat outside his office, we called him in all the time, and he came out and he sort of looked at me as if like, as if I was like the instigator of all this, because I had no say in any of this. I was told what to do. But he was like, yeah, gee, we can't do what we were going to do with them. I'm afraid you're going to have to put them through the system this quarter. And I was like, oh, really? And he was like, yeah, he's like, they need to go through on this year. Like the director sort of noticed things dropping off and money not coming in. He was like, why haven't you invoiced for that? I was like, oh, okay. Put them all through the system. And literally 24 hours later, checked, and I was like sixth. And I was like, oh my God. And like that, I got to go on the trip to Ibiza. And it was honestly, and I was like, I wasn't supposed to be there. If I had told anyone, they would have told me I was absolutely crazy. Even I was thinking, you're absolutely crazy. But I was like, I'm going on that trip. And I even started doing silly things, which is a big thing that people say about manifestation. But like, I started buying bikinis. I had no other summer holiday that year. I bought bikinis. I started planning my outfits. And yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm going, like, I'm going on that trip. I like marked it in my diary, like all that sort of stuff that you can do. Yeah. But I suppose in my head, I was like, I believed that I was going to go. But I was in a good place. Mine and Nate's relationship was doing really well at the time. Work, I'd started to feel like I could actually do recruitment, because 6 months prior to that, I felt so bad at it. So like, there was a lot of other things which obviously meant that I was vibrating at a higher level. My energy was good. I was feeling positive. I was, how long was I living here then? I was coming up to 2 years living here. And I always say it took me at least 2 years before I actually started to settle. So it all sort of tied in at the same time. So I think like, yeah, obviously there was a higher power in some way sort of helping to let things go. Yeah. But I had to work my arse off. Like there was no leaving the office at 5:30 and that type of shit. Like, and it was, you know, no lunch breaks and stuff, but I manifested it. I said I wanted it and I bloody got it. And I tried to do it. I did it again the following year. I did get on the Ibiza trip. And then after that, everything went to shit. And I tried to do it again and it wouldn't happen. And then I quit recruitment. And I was like, no, I put all my energy into that. And yeah. So I do, like I said, I do believe in some instances it does happen. But yeah, I just don't feel like there's a foolproof formula, because I did the same thing as I would have done previously. And there's too many other external like influences and situations that unfortunately are out of your control. Yes, I know obviously we can only manage how we feel and how we look at things. But like I say, in recruitment, it's so up and down. There was nothing that I could do. I was placing contractors, like 10, however many contractors every month or so. But then down the road, there was 20 contractors been left. So like we used to always say it was a leaky bucket, and our manager hated it. But like, we're just going to fill a leaky bucket. And he was like, stop calling it that. And I was like, well, it is, because for every 2 people we place, 5 people are sacked. So like, we're never going to get ahead of ourselves. So, but yeah, that is one of the stories where I'm like, yeah, no, too many good positive coincidences happened in that instance. And that's why I'm saying, like, I do sort of sit in the middle, but also more on the pro side, because I'm like, I've seen it happen, but I can't do it consistently. I just know I don't want to say that, because then that's putting that energy out there. But I just haven't cracked the formula. I'm just not 100% sure how to do it on a consistent basis.
That's it. Like, it's not foolproof, is it? And, you know, like you said, there's so many other things that can come into play. Like at the moment where buying a house, so I'd been really sort of trying to manifest what that house was going to be, and then we found like our perfect house. And you know, I could imagine exactly, you know, I was picturing, like you said, like when you were picturing what you were going to wear in like on your holiday, I was like picturing how I'm going to decorate it and everything. And like, it's, you know, the offer's been accepted, but at the moment I can't, it's out of my hands now. Like,
there's no more you can do.
Like, that's it. It could easily fall through. And if it does, that isn't my fault for not thinking positively enough about it. But equally, what I try and tell myself, and I do this with everything, because I'm definitely the same as you, that I like to imagine, like, I'm not a religious person at all, but I am spiritual. So I do like to imagine that there's this higher power, exactly as what you've said, as a comfort, I think. And what I'm trying to tell myself is, okay, I've like put all of my energy into wanting this house, and like, I really, really want it. It would be amazing if we have it. But if it doesn't happen, there's a different route that's out there for me.
It's, and
there's
not meant to be.
That's it. It's not the house for us. There's something that would have gone wrong at some point. Mm-hmm. And that's just our kind of, it will steer us away from it.
Yeah.
So I do definitely believe, or I believe it because I want to believe it, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I think
it's comforting.
That's it. It is comforting. And I like to think that there's always something, if something goes wrong, something good will come out of it eventually. Yeah. Even like the most horrible things that have happened in my life, I try and focus on the things that came afterwards, maybe the lessons that I learned from it, or things that different paths I took because of that happening. And yeah, so I do like to think in that way. And I guess that's, you know, part of manifestation as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm exactly the same as you. Like I say, like, I'm so like, I speak to Nate about this, like, a lot more, I suppose. Like, I'm one of these, like, I'm a massive hypocrite, like, practice what you preach. But like, I literally would say to him, like, he used to always say, like, the phrase, like, I have no money, or, you know, something really definite like that. And I'd be like, shut up, don't say that, you're putting that out in the world. Like, and I do believe, like, I very much watch what I say, and I hate saying anything too definite, because I'm like, oh, there you go, like, you're putting that energy out there. And I think as well, that comes into then subconsciously what I believe about myself. So even less about manifestation, but like more along the roots of like affirmations and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. I keep saying to people, I'm not a morning person. And I'm like, well, what do you expect? Because you don't believe you're a morning person. Like, silly things like that, where I'm like, you're just literally reiterating what you already sort of believe. Yeah. But yeah, I'll say to him so many times, and sometimes things sound like, I'm like, things can't be forced. If we're forcing it, it's not meant to be. And like, say, some, like the situation with the house, like, you've done everything and you sort of have to trust that what will be. And if it's not, if it's for you, it won't pass you. Like, I literally, they are my mantras in life. And even if something that I think I really, really want, or I'm really devastated it didn't happen, I'm like, that is because if that had happened, then you wouldn't have been available to do this, or you wouldn't have went there. And it can drive you crazy sometimes. But like, for me, I'm like, no, I need to just, that's what I always bring it back to. Like, so even in any situation, and everyone's like, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, I'm like, oh, it wasn't meant to be. And like, sometimes it can seem flippant, but I'm like, no, that's my strongest belief, is that that's because I maybe can't see the route ahead, or I don't know where I'm supposed to end up. Like, I even, like, still now, I'm living here nearly 7 years, and still now I look and think, like, oh my god, like, how the hell did I end up here? Like, this, I didn't manifest this, but obviously step by step I would have manifested it. But like, if you had said to me 10 years ago, oh, by the way, you'll be living in England with a golden cocker and an English husband, I would have been like, I'd never even heard of Portsmouth, you know what I mean? Like, I don't watch football, so I'd never even heard of it. So like, I do believe that I manifested it, but like, unbeknownst to myself, like, I didn't write down this specific, because that's another thing as well, is like, be specific. And I'm like, I couldn't have been specific about this. Like, that would have sounded absolutely mental if I had wrote that down. Like, my family would have been really worried if I just come out of this long-term relationship and then I was like, oh, by the way, this time next year, I'm going to be living in Portsmouth with this boy. They would have been like, you're not leaving the house. You are going nowhere. Like, but yeah, it is, like, say, I do like it as a comfort. But I'm also fully aware that, like, say, the whole toxic positivity, I just don't like to sort of say that that's the main thing, or like, oh, I got this because I manifested it, because number one, that diminishes any hard work or like stuff that you've done. And then also, like, say, people's situation, circumstances, like, say, like, to the extreme of like a third world country, can you imagine going out to somewhere like that and being like, oh, well, you're just not thinking positive enough, like, you know, you need to manifest it. Like, it's so insensitive. And I think, like I say, it does massively come from a place of privilege where we can say, oh, I'll just manifest it. And it's like, that's because you're within the means of doing that. Like, I'm not manifesting, like, you know, that I'm going to be the president of America. That's not doable. It's out of my control. So like, it's all circumstantial about where you are in your life and sort of what you have to hand. And I think I think when I speak to people who aren't about it, I think that's what annoys them, because they're like, oh, shut up, like, just because you're in this great place, blah blah blah. And like, I do want to be mindful of coming across like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, yeah, I completely agree. And it's kind of finding a balance, I suppose, of how you talk about it when you are talking about it to other people. Because, you know, I think this has just been part of my kind of learning process as I've got older and I've understood more about my own mental health and things like that. Like, I would never say to someone anymore, like, just think positively. Yeah. Like, I just don't say that anymore.
No.
But I do think of ways that I can almost say the same thing, but in a way that doesn't feel toxic and as if I'm diminishing their emotions. And yeah,
it can be a bit patronizing, can't it?
Yeah, I think it can be really patronizing. And I think it's, I was actually talking to someone the other day, she's a psychologist, And she was saying how, you know, and we see these, especially I saw it a lot during the first lockdown. We see these like posts on Instagram that are like, oh, like, yeah, just be positive, do this, do that, do that. It can actually be really detrimental to people's mental health because you see that. And I know if I think about times when I've been in a really low place, if I see that, I'm like, well, I can't. What's wrong with me? I can't think like that. Like, you know,
there's something has the opposite effect.
Yeah.
It makes you feel it for me with the whole like I swear this whole episode, this whole series has been somewhat unofficially sponsored by social media because it pops up all the time. But like you say, in the lockdowns, it sent me spiraling when I remember, and I seen this one meme and then I seen like the counter argument maybe a few months later, but it was like, it was this one about like, oh, if you don't come out of this lockdown having achieved something, it wasn't that you didn't have the time, it was that you didn't like work hard enough. And I was like,
I remember that. I remember.
Oh my God. And I was like, right, well, that's it. Like, I'm just a shit person. Like,
yeah. Uh huh. Oh my God. I remember that so clearly. Yeah. If it was like, if you haven't learned a new hobby, if you haven't scaled your business, if you haven't done this, if you haven't done that, like, I could barely get out of bed in that first lockdown. And I remember that. And then I remember the count. Yeah. When they did.
Yeah. I think someone was countering it, been like, yeah, we're in the middle of pandemic. Like, just shut the fuck up sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I was like, thank God someone has said that, because I literally, because that was already things that I had my own sort of internal demons of, like me saying to myself, oh, you're just lazy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Then some randomer on the internet posted it. And I was like, oh, there we go. It must be true. Because you know they're saying it, and I just remember thinking, I cannot believe that somebody has put that out there. Like when I did sort of like slap myself and be like, right, wake up, like shut up. But like it is that whole toxic positivity of like, and you said about like mental health and that, and like I thankfully have never, like obviously my mental health can go up and down, but I've never suffered or had an illness from it. But I've got like people around me and sort of family members and stuff who have, so I'm massively aware of it and really conscious of, I suppose, just secondhand watching it. But I know for a fact, like one of the people that I'm thinking of, and it was like they were having like, they were in the depths of depression, like really, really bad, and couldn't get out of bed, couldn't leave. And people were like, you should just go up and go for a walk.
Oh,
and it was just like, and now if I ever hear anyone say that, I'll like, I've gotten into arguments before with people who will say something like that. And they're like looking at me as if, and I know they don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm just like, you can't say that to somebody. Yeah. This isn't that they're not thinking positive. This is a health thing.
Yeah.
And like people are like, oh yeah, but if you just like write a list, meditate, and then go for a walk, like you're going to feel so much better. No, you're not.
It makes me so angry, because why is it that mental health is seen as so differently than physical? So for example, as you know, I've just recently fucked my ankle up. No one's going to turn around to me and say, just go for a walk,
because I'm so much better.
So why is it different if someone is in the depths of like a real mental health crisis, that someone, and I've heard it so many times from like, you know, people I know and love, and, you know, times with myself as well, when people who should know better didn't know better. And it was, just get some fresh air, just, you know, run a bath and put some candles on. No.
And I think that's what it is. People see mental health as the same thing as mindset, or, you know what I mean? And it's like, that's not the same thing. Like your brain and that whole thing is a part of your health, like your physical health. Like I think Ricky Gervais tweeted it, and every so often I will find it and just like reshare it, just as it's quite like, what would you say? It's quite direct and like over the top. But he always says like, you wouldn't say to somebody with cancer the same things you would say to somebody with mental health. And I'm like, it's exactly the same. Like if someone had cancer, you're not going to be like, oh, you just need to think better, or you just need to like get some fresh air, you know, write a list of things that you want to achieve. You'd be told that you're an insensitive prick if you said that to somebody with cancer. But when it comes to mental health, people seem to think that it's something that people choose. Like, you just need to get dressed and showered and then you'll feel better. And it's like, they will do that and it will make them feel better, but it's not going to make any changes to their mental health or that illness that they're dealing with. Like,
it blows absolutely my mind. I know, it is. It's just, I mean, I could just like rant about it. Because it's just, I don't get it. And it's this whole as well, like, you know, this is going down a bit of a like rabbit tunnel now. Rabbit tunnel, is that the phrase?
Rabbit hole. My whole podcast is rabbit holes, don't worry. It's encouraged.
It's the whole be kind thing as well that happened, and like that whole thing, and you see people saying that and then in the next breath like fucking bullying some celebrity online or being hot, like they just think that because they can say like, oh, be kind, that that's them sort of doing their bit to support people with mental health. And no, it's not. It's like, yes, of course we all need to be kind, of course we do, but
actions speak louder than words. Like, it's all well and good, like, say, like, it's the whole thing with like the Black Lives Matter movement. Same, like, this month is Pride Month, and I've already seen people sort of saying like there's companies and businesses that, and even people who will just jump on the hype because it's Pride Month, and then, you know, the next thing they've been homophobic the next month later. And it's like, you can't just post a rainbow flag and then you're an ally. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's more to it than just that. It's not just a trend. So yeah, like, and I'll drop it after this, I promise. You've got me on a rant as well, don't worry. The whole thing of like, you know, when you hear of somebody who's maybe like, think of celebrities or, you know, reality stars who've maybe taken their own life, or even just people in general, or, and the people will say like, oh, they had so much going for them or something like that. Like, oh, but they had like the best car and the best wife and the best job and all this money. And like, same thing. I like, literally, if someone ever mentioned that in a conversation, my first response is, you wouldn't say that to somebody who's diagnosed with cancer. And they're like, oh, and I'm like, it doesn't discriminate. It doesn't look at your life and doesn't discriminate. Okay, you've got a lot going on that's pretty good, so I'm not going to go to you. Same as cancer doesn't discriminate. Mental health and all of that is exactly the same. It's out of your control. And actually, I need to correct myself because I use the phrase taking your own life, and that's also not correct, because that was it. By using the phrase taking your own life, that makes it sound like you had a choice. And that's not the case. It's death by suicide or mental health. And I think I've seen recently, like with different articles and stuff, they will phrase it like that. And I think it's so much better, because you wouldn't say that about any other illness, that it makes it sound like that person chose what they did. It's just not. And like I say, it's just because it's something that I've seen and it's personal to me, that I'll get my back up. Like, I'd fight anyone over that, over anything else. I think that would be the one thing that I'd actually get into.
100%, and I wouldn't care who it was either. No. I've actually had quite a big sort of blow up actually with a family member not that long ago who was being really quite insensitive about that. And it is a topic that's incredibly, incredibly close to my heart as well. And I just completely lost it. And I'm, you know, respectful of my family, like familial members and everything. Same. But I'm really, really glad actually that there's been this sort of move more recently to change the way we talk about suicide. And even, not saying like committed suicide, almost makes it feel like it's a crime that has been done. Like you said, it puts like it on the person as if they've made that choice. And I'm glad that these things are changing, but there's just still so much to be done. And there's still so many conversations that need to be had, because you're right. Every single time we see, you know, like a celebrity, that is the first like conversation that comes afterwards. Oh, but they had everything. It's like, that's the point. It doesn't matter if you have everything. And also, does that mean that people that didn't have everything, it's like, oh well, they, you know,
it doesn't matter then. They didn't really have much going on, but they do always look at like what was going on in people's lives, and you're like, why are we even looking at that? Like, you know, they've died. Like, it's irrelevant. All that other stuff is irrelevant. Like, you just, like I say, I could go on. And obviously we have gone on a tangent, but I think it is so important in this conversation in particular, because it was exactly what you said about in your blog post. Like, obviously it's detrimental if your business is doing bad, and yet people are like, oh, but you just manifest it and just be positive, and then you feel like a failure. And then the same thing comes to, you know, if you're actually suffering with your mental health or dealing with any sort of illness, that this pressure's then on you. Oh, well, you know, you're just attracting more negative. Like, I cannot think of a scarier place to be, because like I say, it's triggered me before, the whole, your negativity is going to attract more negativity and bad things into your life. And I can't even imagine if I was any which way suffering from mental health and then seeing that. Oh my God.
It just, just unbearable. So, so, so much more triggering to then see that. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's why, like I say, I wanted to have this conversation. And like I say, I've wanted to do manifestation since I started the podcast. But at the same time, I don't know. I didn't want to just paint it in like all roses and stuff, because there's plenty of podcasts out there. And just, if that's what you want to look at, and if, you know, if you're on that train, because it can help if you're feeling like you need a little bit of like direction, or, you know, you want to sort of focus on your mindset and, you know, how you sort of want to look at life. I would 100% recommend like going into podcasts and all that if you find it's going to help you. But I think it's just, we don't ever see the other side of it, which then can be really detrimental and really like ignorant to any other part of it. Like someone's not going to start doing the law of attraction, manifestation and that if they're having a really bad time. Like, that's not when they're going to be like, I know what to do. So then how is that actually helpful? Like, say, people who seem to talk about it are the people that are already there and already have it. And you're like, oh, great. Yeah. Thanks for telling me that from your mansion. Like, yeah. I'll remember that when I'm, you know, counting the pennies out of my purse to buy like tea bags or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as well, just kind of off the back of that, I see so many people now who are, you know, like, I don't, maybe they call themselves coaches or whatever they call themselves, like the big bucks on teaching people how to do this manifestation and promising them like, oh, but you know, this person did it with me and now they're a millionaire and they're living in like Florida and rah, 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 and like big bucks that they make back of that. And I'm just like, oh God, it's so icky.
I remember I think it was near the end of last year. I don't even know the ins and outs of it, but there was a whole thing about, well, obviously I agree with coaches. I think coaches are great in that, but there was a whole thing about, there was coaches who were pretty much preying on vulnerable people and literally taking a lot of money for these courses that actually weren't doing anything. But like that, it was like, I'm going to show you how to do this. I'm going to show you how to do this. And like with manifestation and all that, like it is something that, like you say, because it always comes with the caveat of, but you have to do the work. So then it's like, well, am I manifesting it or am I hard working? Do you know what I mean? Like, I could write a list of the top 10 things that I want in my life right now, but like without knowing the steps or without sort of even having the first step. I don't believe you necessarily have to know the whole, say, 10 steps to get there, but you need to at least know the first one, or you're just going to stay where you are. Like, and that comes into the whole thing with like the secret. It's sort of, it doesn't tell you enough that like you can't just make a wish and then just forget about it and then it will just arrive at your door. Like, you have to actually do the work. And yeah, like I suppose some people who are willing to spend that money and stuff, like they're really vulnerable. Like, I mean, it's preying on people's vulnerabilities and insecurities, and yeah, like making, like, I've no issue with people coaching and that. Like I say, I'm all for it. I actually agree with it.
Like,
I've done coaching, like as in life coaching for myself, and I've really benefited from it. But I think it's when it's something that they can sort of just sort of flip away and say, oh, you didn't do it right, or you didn't put in the hard work. And then it's like, wait, are you a business coach or a life coach or manifestation? Because how can you say then if there's no sort of, if there's no tangible results, like, oh, this person did this. Oh, really? And how did they do it? Well, they started this multi-million pound business, but they had like 10 grand from a family member set it off. Oh, right. Well, where do I get the 10 grand? Oh, well, you just figure it out. Like, yeah, I need a little bit more context to that story then to understand that it's not all the, like say, it comes from the privilege. It's just not all as it seems.
Definitely. Absolutely. There needs to be that kind of caveat, doesn't it? Otherwise it's just, and I'm the same, like I have nothing against coaches. I have something against the immoral coaches that we said prey on people's vulnerabilities. And yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. That big sort of hullabaloo that started at the end of last year is still kind of rolling on now, to be honest.
Horrific actually, because like it was, I can't remember. I remember thinking like, well, I think in my head, I remember thinking like, oh my God, I can't believe somebody would spend that type of money. And then I actually thought, bloody hell, like for someone to spend that type of money, they must have really believed that this was going to work. Mm-hmm. And like, and I think obviously the biggest issue with that instance in particular was the fact that they didn't even have the blueprint or the course, or they didn't, it wasn't even a case of like, oh, you tried it and didn't work. There was no course, there was nothing. It was just that it was pretty much a scam. Like it was literally a scam that they put under the guise of coaching. And that's where it sort of, it falls into that sort of bad area. Like there's coaches that will sort of use manifestation, but also I suppose give you the tools behind it to remind you, like you say, it's not just writing a list and crossing your fingers and hoping it happens. Because like I'd say I'm a positive person. Like I would, all in all, I would say I'm a positive person, or try to be. Does that mean I don't have bad thoughts? No. Does that mean that I don't have down days? No. But you know, realistically, like realistically, I should be able to manifest or attract everything then that I want, because I'd say a good 80% of the time I am positive, but it doesn't, mm-hmm. it just doesn't happen like that, because there's other bits and pieces that I potentially have to do or can't do to really reach where I want to reach at the moment. Like,
absolutely.
It's a bloody black hole, this conversation.
I know.
And just if so, in because I know you say like you do use manifestation and that, and we'll sort of wrap up with this, but is there anything that you do in regard to that whole thing that you find does help you, or does like some people use visualization, meditation, journaling, like is there anything like that that you do that you're like, it does help me, I do sort of put it in that bracket of manifestation and I do have a positive sort of outlook on it?
Yeah, I would say it's meditation and journaling for me, because the meditation gets me, I believe, into a state where I kind of can really access what I actually want and where I want to take my life and everything. Even if I don't, you know, I don't necessarily realize it at the time, but I do think that regular meditation puts my sort of mind in that, more receptive state. And then the journaling is for the reflection and setting intentions. I think both of them really are very similar to manifestation. I think that manifestation just has so many different sort of arms and legs that comes off of it. So yeah, I would say that's what it is for me.
Yeah, I'd be similar. And you know what? I don't even do it that often, which annoys me. There's so many things that I do and don't do that annoy me about myself. But like when you say set, like I find like writing goals or writing intentions actually massively helps me. Do I do it all the time? No. Should I do it more? Yeah, probably. But but I do, like, I do agree with actually, you know, and that's actually half the issue I find, is that I'm like, right, I've read this book, I've watched this documentary, blah, blah, blah. I know now how to sort of do it. I've got all the stuff. And then I go to write things down. I don't even know what I want. And I find that is actually so frustrating, because I'm like, what do I want? And then I write something down. And the one thing they say, don't be vague. And mine are so vague. Like, I want to go on holidays. Like, I don't even know where I want to go. And like, I'm like, but it is like going back to that then example of the Ibiza trip. Like, I knew exactly the dates I wanted to go, where I was going. Like, I knew who was going to be there. Like, I could see it. I could visualize it. And I think that's half my issue. And then I always get annoyed at myself, because I'm like, why don't you know what you want? But like, sometimes you just don't. Like, sometimes it's, I did do it actually with the, I wouldn't even say it's journaling. I don't even know what you would call this, but it was about a year before our wedding. And this is going to sound woo woo. I don't think I told anyone this. It's like a year before our wedding, and we were getting married at home in Ireland, and it was the August bank holiday weekend here. But for like 2 or 3 years prior to that, it would like switch whether it was going to be raining or sunny. Mm-hmm. And I was like stressed, because we wanted to get married outside. It had the most gorgeous like outdoor wedding part of the venue in the woods. And like, that was it. Like, that was where I was getting married. And then like every time we obviously went to the venue, they'd be like, yeah. So you want to get married outside, but obviously if the weather isn't good, we'll get married inside. I did not want to get married inside. Not like, that was not part of the plan. Like, that wasn't what I could see. And in my head, I kept like visualizing like me being outside. And then I've wrote it. I must find it, actually. I've got a diary or a book. It's not even got anything else in it. And I just wrote the day as if it had happened. I think I must have wrote the date as the 24th. Probably was like the 25th of August, like the day after the wedding, 2019. And I literally wrote every single detail in regards to waking up, the hairdressers and makeup artists coming to the house, like all of that. I wrote so much about the weather. I was like, everyone was sweating, you know, it was gorgeous. We were outdoors the whole time, like literally wrote it play by play, forgot about it. And then thankfully the weather was absolutely gorgeous. And I found it a few months later, and I remember reading it, and it was pretty exact. Like, obviously there was little bits and pieces, which wasn't obviously because I wasn't to know that was going to happen. But like, on the whole, you could read that. And if someone found that, they'd well believe that I wrote that after the wedding. Like, it was spot on. Like, and I do believe, and I think I read it a few times actually in the months, say, after I wrote it, and sort of read it and really imagined it and all that. And like, the week we went to Ireland, the week before the wedding, and Saturday was all right, started drizzling, Sunday it rained, and then it rained Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning. We were getting married on a Saturday, and I was like, it's going to be sunny. And we were staying out at the venue from the Thursday before, and turned up, and the two guys that ran it, and they were like, yeah, they were like, look, the weather looks good for Saturday, but we're not going to make a call till 6 p.m. on Friday. And I was like, it's going to be outside. And they're like, yeah, no, we're, and I was like, no, I'm just telling you, like, it's going to be outside, it's going to be sunny. And they're like, no, I agree, but just, and I was like, don't ring me tomorrow. It's outside. And I remember when we left, I turned around tonight and I was like, because he was going to be staying at the venue with his family and groomsmen, and I was going to be at my sister's house. And I was like, you see, on if they say on Friday night, if they turn around and say, because they have to set it up obviously the day before, which is fair enough, I get it. So if they start setting up indoors and I wake up on Saturday morning, it's sunny, I was like, you and your groomsmen are getting a text and you're setting up the outdoor venue, because I was like, it is happening outside. So I was like, I'm just giving you the heads up. Thankfully, like I say, it's Thursday evening, sunny, Friday, and then Saturday morning. It was one of the hottest days we actually had. It was actually too hot. Should have rubbed should have rubbed a nice cool breeze, because I was absolutely sweating. But it was honestly, for Ireland in August, it was one of the sunniest, warmest days ever. And everyone always says, like, oh my God, the weather, because like the whole, it would have been a completely different day. And I do believe like some of that was like manifest, because like I couldn't control the weather. Like that's the thing that annoyed me, that I got stressed. I always say to people, you're stressing about the weather, you can't control it. But yeah, inside, I internally I was like screaming. I was like, I have to, it has to be sunny. Like I was like, of all like the types, like I was like, we're not getting married indoors, like it has to be sunny. So I do feel like my journaling, and I need to do that more. That's the thing, I'm saying it now and then I'm like annoyed at myself, because I'm like, just do more of that, like just write more of that. Like I've done it with well, it hasn't happened yet. Watch this space. I'll let you know if it happens. But I wrote in my diary that I'm going home the first week in September. Of like visiting Ireland, going home. September, no reason why. I just thought it's after the bank holiday. And I've said to Nate, and he's actually, unbeknownst to me, already had that week booked off. So I was like, yeah, we're going home for that week. I don't know what the restrictions are going to look like. I have no clue if that would be feasible. But in my head, we are going home the first week of September. So, watch this space.
Do some more journaling about that.
Yeah, I think I will. Like, and that's the thing. Like, I know I have this certain tools and stuff that I know will help. I'm just a devil for not fucking doing it sometimes.
I'm the same, to be honest. And I get so wound up about it, because I know how good it makes me feel in it. But something just stops you doing it. It's so annoying.
Feckin' life. Bloody life. Right. Before we wrap up, I always like to sort of end with a quote. And I'm actually ahead of myself, because usually I always get to this point, I'm like, oh shit, I don't have a quote. So I do have a quote wrote down. It's sort of in link into this conversation. So I'll go with mine. And then if you've got any sort of quote, it doesn't have to link in, but any quote at all. Mine is, there is always something to be grateful for. And that was said by Rhonda Byrne, who wrote The Secret. And that's actually, I don't know how, I feel like we have gone through this whole episode and not used the word grateful or gratitude. So that's a bit weird, but I fully believe in that quote. There is always something to be grateful for. And that's what, when I do spiral or when I do feel negative or have any sort of which way thoughts that don't make me feel good, I always bring it back to gratitude, to the simplest thing of like, it's not simple, obviously I'm really grateful, but I always just say to Nate, like, I'm so grateful that I have you and this is our life, or I'm so grateful we have Simba, like literally. And it might be the same things over and over, but I genuinely mean it when I say that I'm grateful for the life that I have. And like, yeah, I don't have like, I don't know, £1 million in the bank and all that, but like the stuff that I do have, I genuinely show gratitude for, and you know, talk about it and remind myself how lucky I am and should be grateful for. So yeah, I seen that quote and I was like, yeah, that's perfect for this episode.
Yeah, nice.
What about you? Do you like quotes?
Yeah, I do love quotes, but mine isn't a quote, it's a line from a poem, which is just like my favorite sentence that I always go back to just for life in general. So it's, tell me, what is it you plan to do with this one wild and precious life? And it's by a poet called Mary Oliver. And I just love it, because it just says to me, you know, you only get one life. Yeah. How are you going to live it to your best? And, you know, living it to your best doesn't mean that you have to be like jumping out of airplanes and stuff. But even if it's loving the people that you love, like deeply, and like you said, showing gratitude and doing the things that bring you joy. So that is such a, that's basically like my mantra. So
I can understand. I'm the same as you. Like I have I've said this word so many times in this bloody podcast, but existential crises a lot of the time, because sometimes I'll wake up and I'm like, what is the point? Or like, you know, what if it's all gone tomorrow type thing. And so I do always sort of bring it back to like, I try not worry about things and sort of do things. I don't do crazy things, like I'm pretty normal, but you know, like you say, like it's not necessarily jumping out of a plane, but it's like always trying to make sure that every day or every week or whatever it looks like, that there's something that feels good, or something that's what you want your life to sort of be, and sort of thing, because unfortunately life is short and we don't know what's going to happen, so therefore just go feckin' crazy. Like, just do it. Don't jump out of planes if you don't want to, though. I did, and it was really good, but just go crazy. Amber, thank you so much. This, I swear, I could sit and talk about this and probably put the world to right with you just going through all of this, but I've really enjoyed it, and I'm really glad that I think we've sort of, like, say, put a spin on it that's not always the positive narrative and a little bit more like real worldly. I think anyone who can practice it and who does manifestation and all of that, I think it's really good. It's nice to have something like that in your life. But also, if you're not about it and you don't sort of agree with it, or you'd feel like you can't do it, that's also okay, because life, there's a lot going on in life, like, instead of just been worrying about that. So thank you so much for joining me.
That's okay. Oh, I've loved it. Absolutely loved it. Thank you very much.
No, it's been fab. And if anyone, I'd actually genuinely want to know in the send me a DM or whatever, how you feel about manifestation, because I just love getting into conversations about it. I find it so interesting to know what people's minds are and what they think about it all. So any messages at all, do let me know, or opinions, or whatever, or especially how you felt this episode was, obviously let me know about that too. Thank you so much, Amber.
Thank you very much.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it would honestly mean the world if you would leave a review. I would genuinely appreciate that. And if you're liking what you're hearing, please hit the subscribe button so you get notified of any future episodes. Thanks again, guys, and I'll hopefully see you back here soon. Lots of love, G.